Be Rad podcast is brought to you by MOFO, male optimization formula with organs to boost testosterone. Brad's macadamia masterpiece, mind-blowing nut butter blend now available on Amazon. Bala enzyme, electrolyte and triple enzyme recovery drink mix. Paleo Valley, nutrient-rich, ancestral-inspired health products. By Optimizers, performance supplements like magnesium, probiotics, and more. And B-Rad Whey Protein Super Fuel, coming soon. Stay tuned for details. And please visit bradkearns.com to check out my personal selection of favorite products for health, fitness, and peak performance with great discounts for listeners. And here we go with the show.
I am a lifetime convert to a nose-to-tail animal-based eating strategy. I've allowed my favorite plant foods to drift back into the picture, and again, with no ill effects. But if you have gas, bloating, digestive discomfort, like I did after my green smoothie, I'm going to say I'm going to look elsewhere.
Hey listeners, I discovered an awesome new electrolyte and triple enzyme powdered drink that's going to knock your socks off. It's called Bala Enzyme, and it comes in a convenient little pouch of bright orange powder that you pour into water for the ultimate electrolyte and antioxidant drink. It's simple, convenient, and yes, the orange tint comes from a potent serving of turmeric, along with a clean and diverse assortment of enzymes and electrolytes, and a perfect taste that's not fake or too sweet. Bala was created by husband and wife doctors to help their patients recover from inflammation, improve hydration, speed up recovery, even relieve joint pain, improve digestion, and boost immunity. I love their incredible devotion to product quality. There's a lot of research behind it, and I just sprinkle this packet into ice water, and it's so easy to stay hydrated because you absolutely enjoy the taste of the drink. Get their convenient little packets. They even designed it with the tear half torn, so it's easy to open into the water. I love what they think of. And it comes in three exciting flavors: pineapple, lime, and berry. It's so potent, it might stain your fingers if you get it on your fingers. And yes, that's a good thing for a serving of turmeric that's that potent. It's also sugar-free, zero carb, and promoting of the three R's: rehydrate, relieve, and revive. Please visit balaenzyme.com, B-A-L-A-E-N-Z-Y-M-E. And of course, there's a special deal for B-Rad podcast listeners, 30% off your first order. Just use the code B-R-A-D-30 at balaenzyme.com.
Hey, it's part three on the journey through Brad's lifelong dietary habits, including up to present day. So in part one, we went through my history as a kid growing up in the age of processed food, the explosion and popularity of processed food. And then we got into the primal years, starting in 2008 when Mark Sisson and I got together and started promoting the Primal Blueprint movement, writing the book, writing the Keto Reset Diet, which was published in 2017. So I was deep into the keto experience for a short time, had some great insights. And then 2019, the last show, part two, was entirely dedicated to that incredible recent turn of events where I was forced and compelled to rethink my fixed and rigid beliefs about what was healthy eating, what was optimal eating, and embrace this new popularity of an animal-based, nose-to-tail animal-based diet. And so I talked plenty about the rationale there, as communicated wonderfully by Dr. Paul Saladino and other leaders like Dr. Sean Baker, Amber O'Hearn, Michaela Peterson. You can find their content out there in the podcast world. I had three shows with Saladino, I believe. I had a summary show where I covered all his points, and sometimes that's the best one to go to if you just want to jump into the subject and hear me talk straight ahead. The interviews are also wonderful to get to know the person, but I do make that effort to try to summarize all the talking points, write them down in a concise manner, convey them to you, and have them be your marching orders, right? And I also had a great show with Dr. Sean Baker, so plenty of content back there. And so I quickly went through the rationale here and the understanding that plant foods of the earth contain natural toxic chemicals that can be potentially harmful to your health. Wow, wake up call. So the kings of the dietary world, as we've been programmed to believe forever, that the kale is the king food of the planet, these beliefs deserve to be further scrutinized because of all the different plant toxins that can cause problems. Prominent among them, things like leaky gut syndrome and all manner of autoimmune and inflammatory conditions. Especially if you've had complaints in that area, it will serve you to perform an experiment and do a food restriction, a 30-day experiment where you're emphasizing, hopefully, completely emphasizing and eliminating all plant foods and eating only animal foods, because those are very minimally allergenic compared to the plant foods. And you might experience a variety of improvements, including in digestion and elimination. So as we pick up from the finish line of part two, I just want to further detail some of the lasting effects and behavior changes that I trace back to early 2019 when I started to explore this carnivore approach. I think these are going to be lifelong changes and implementations because they're so powerful and so well supported by science. And one of them is that the nose-to-tail strategy, where generally our perception of eating meat, animal foods, is limited to the flesh, right? So we eat the muscle meat of the cow, that's burgers and steaks, and we eat the chicken breast, the thigh, whatever part of the body, but we're eating the flesh and we're discarding, generally in modern culture, modern diet, except for traditional culture and traditional things that still hold, especially like I go to the Mexican carniceria and they have all manner of organ meats and nose to tail offerings, but that's out of mainstream. Not when you go to the chain supermarkets. I go to my favorite supermarket and ask them if they have liver, and I'm batting like, you know, one for four typically. Like they mostly don't have it because no one wants it. And then when they do have it, you know, a good grass-fed source, I will buy it up. But it's amazing that this stuff isn't centerpiece, because it's undisputed that the nutrient density of the organs is superior to the muscle meats. So I am a lifetime convert to a nose-to-tail animal-based eating strategy. These are the foods that drove human evolution for 2.5 million years, and they are the most nutritionally complete and nutrient-dense foods on the planet. Let's say you aren't inclined to jump out and go buy some heart and some kidney and some bone marrow and some liver and come home and cook it up. You haven't been culturally programmed that way. I understand it. The taste can be a little different than the habituation to burgers and steaks. And so that's where the supplements can come in and get you started on that healthy path. So a huge promotion here for ancestral supplements, and especially the MOFO product that I co-promote with them. And that's for male optimization formula. Freeze-dried organs from the most pristine source of grass-fed animals from New Zealand. And the MOFO formula, male optimization formula with organs, contains freeze-dried bovine testicle, prostate, heart, liver, and bone marrow. So it's the most nutrient-dense supplement you can imagine. I have all kinds of commentary on my website at the MOFO link to tell you what is in these agents and how it's basically, you can consider it the ultimate natural multivitamin of the planet, vastly superior to anything that you can extract from laboratory means where you're actually buying a multivitamin. And it might be the only one necessary, except in particular circumstances. And I occasionally try other stuff in the interest of peak performance. But my centerpiece is a daily consumption of numerous organ supplements from Ancestral. There's all kinds of others. They bottle up probably everything you can imagine. Some of my favorites are their living bone. Another one's called Blood Vitality, where you're actually getting the blood product from the animal. They have thymus. They have liver capsules. They have beef organs, another compilation product. They even have a female optimization formula, and go check out everything there. Just click on the MoFo link, learn about it a little bit. And if you go to my recommendations shopping page, you can get a discount with the code BRAD10 over at AncestralSupplements.com. You can order up on Amazon. But try the MoFo. I have so many friends that started taking it at my behest, and they're converts. They love it. It's an easy way to get organ meats into your diet. Of course, fresh is always going to be fantastic and superior to taking something in a capsule. So also try, I can't believe I said try, also consider making a commitment to integrate organ meats into your diet. And in that list, in that category, is bone broth. And I'm talking about real, authentic bone broth, the kind that costs, whoa, $12 for this little jar. But that's bone broth made from the actual leaching of the bone material through prolonged slow cooking. You can do it at home in a crock pot yourself if you go buy the bones, the joint material from the butcher, but you can also buy these carefully cultivated products. They're all over the good stores and on the internet. I've actually switched my smoothie base from one of the nut milks, like coconut milk is my favorite, but now I'm using bone broth because it's a good way to get the bone broth into my daily diet. You can't taste it, right? The more prominent flavors come out of the smoothie. So if I'm drinking a vanilla smoothie with some bananas in there, that's what I taste. I don't taste the bone flavor. It's got minimal flavor anyway. But a quality bone broth will give you that those specialized agents that are not found in other foods, not muscle meats, or found at very much lower levels. And that's the material that's especially healthy for your connective tissue, collagen, glycosaminoglycans. Dr. Kate Shanahan, one of the leading promoters of how important consuming these types of agents are in your diet for your connective tissue health, which is directly associated with longevity. So get your liver game on. Liver would be the first choice in the organ meats category because it has such tremendous nutrient density. And then add to that a regular commitment to bone broth. A wonderful warm beverage is authentic bone broth. Again, I'm talking about stuff that's gelatinous when you refrigerate it, rather than liquidy, and distinguished strongly from the inexpensive stock. It should be called stock. Sometimes it says broth, but you can go to the store and look at the carton of chicken broth, beef broth, vegetable broth, and that's just kind of a liquid with minimal nutritional benefit versus a gelatinous bone broth from some of the great suppliers. And I've had Sharon Brown on the podcast, founder of Bonafide Provisions. She credits bone broth with healing some serious health conditions of her young son that were resisting medical treatment and getting really frustrating, but it's so nutrient dense. There's also a recent popularity of the bone broth diet for the heal and seal effect it is purported to have on leaky gut. So if you consume a strong commitment to bone broth, I think some people might be doing only bone broth for a couple weeks, but getting those plant foods out of your system for a test period to determine your sensitivity. And if you have leaky gut symptoms, you most certainly have plant sensitivity. And instead, replacing it with a lot of bone broth, the specialized agents in the bone broth have a heal and seal effect on your gut lining. So that, I'm just still talking on the first bullet point of the benefits and the observations I've seen from transitioning over to this nose-to-tail emphasis, carnivore-ish eating pattern. Yeah. There's another one that I would call efficiency. And by that, I mean, I'm not on a blood sugar roller coaster, and I can reference back to pre-2008 diet, where I was eating, by and large, what anyone would consider very healthy, a lot of scrutiny with all my purchase decisions, looking for the right brands, reading labels, talking about it, writing about it. But I consumed so many calories and snacks so frequently because I was burning a lot of calories that I would be on this little bitty, not an extreme crazy one, Mr. Hot Fudge Sunday, but just a natural grain-based diet causing a lot of glucose spikes and insulin responses. And so by the end of the day, I would have this experience of feeling burnt out, exhausted, I thought it was from the busy day, but it was also from that energy roller coaster of eating a high carbohydrate diet with a lot of insulin stimulating effects. And so the efficiency of eating these carnivore-ish meals is that you feel tremendously satisfied without the glucose spike and the insulin crash during the day. Same with fasting. And of course, fasting becomes much easier when you are eating these low insulin producing meals and cutting out the junk food and the processed foods and getting better at burning fat by honoring all the lifestyle practices that support fat burning. We've had so many shows about that. Sensible exercise program rather than overtraining, all that stuff. And so we have this high satiety, low insulin stimulating diet to whereby you can easily skip meals if you're too busy and just have a more efficient, productive day rather than, you know, being reliant upon snacks. And I reference my my travel days from the old days versus today, where I would seriously pack a separate little carry-on bag that was just filled with food and my jars of nut butter and my trail mix and all the stuff I mentioned on the first show, versus now, where a travel day is a wonderful opportunity to fast because it helps you with overcoming jet lag. It helps reduce the stress impact, the EMF impact of traveling in the metal capsule up at high altitude, and all those things that are stressors to the body doesn't go hand in hand with digesting nutritious food. So I take the opportunity to fast, and that's another thing that I can do with greater ease because of my baseline dietary habits. Beyond feeling satisfied and having greater nutrient density in the diet, not needing to snack as a centerpiece of my daily schedule, my daily lifestyle experience, I would say that my digestive function is vastly improved, to the extent that I have nothing to report rather than all kinds of little nicks and knacks and things that are imperfections. And I think we've come to embrace all this stuff as normal when it really shouldn't be normal. So most people, I think there's a lot of over-the-counter and prescription drug products to vouch for my wild statement. Most people go through life with a significant amount of gas, bloating, transient minor digestive pain, elimination irregularities, constipation, extra visits to the toilet, all these kind of things in that category. Most people think that's normal. We were doing some prescription drug research for a storyline in the Primal Blueprint and ranking the top selling, the most used drugs. And I think Nexium, the purple pill, which I believe is taken for digestive discomfort, is like the number three, with millions and millions of people on prescription medication to manage the digestive discomfort that is quite likely related to what you eat. Am I fair to say that? I'd say so. The digestive discomfort caused by reactivity to the natural plant toxins. So let's be over and done with that and try to envision a life where you have nothing to report with your digestion and elimination. Okay. Over time, right, as I said, I relaxed my standards, especially when I got the 8 pounds of excess body fat off in 3 months. That was a really devoted experience where the meals were tightly carnivore. You know, I was having the eggs without the mini tortillas on the bottom, even though I might enjoy that more just because. And then doing things like increasing my commitment to cold exposure, which I believe is a strong catalyst to fat loss, and not eating any calories until 12 noon, all that stuff. So relaxing those commitments, I've allowed my favorite plant foods to drift back into the picture. And again, with no ill effects. So this is not a recommendation or a list for you to go out and add on your index card that it's okay for you. But for me, I've very carefully tracked to see if I have any adverse symptoms, and I don't, especially with dark chocolate, because let me tell you, the amount that I eat, if I had some reactivity to dark chocolate, I would definitely feel it. I could get Dr. Saladino back on the show, and he'd probably argue a few points with me there, because some of this stuff, most of this stuff is subclinical, so maybe my nutrient assimilation is slightly compromised by my dark chocolate habit, because we heard earlier that The oxalates can bind with minerals and, you know, inhibit your absorption of certain minerals. Hey, but my blood work looks good and I'm enjoying my life. I'm picking the best stuff and it's my treat, my indulgence. And I'll have a hard time giving that up unless I guess I should try that for 30 days, right? Make sure I'm not addicted to anything like my previous podcast guest, Dr. Joan Ifland, discussed in great detail. And boy, that was fun to learn that we have so many forms of addiction in everyday life, and it's something to strive to kind of work against, especially things like connectivity, mobile devices, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so what's leaked back in, of course, is a heavy consumption of high cacao percentage bean to bar, fair trade dark chocolate, starchy tubers. That will be my go-to high carbohydrate source. And those are consumed mostly in conjunction or in direct association with my high intensity workouts. So I do make a concerted effort to increase carbohydrate intake in the hours after these high intensity sprinting and jumping workouts. And my favorites are sweet potato, and my new favorite, dating back several months to my trip to Hawaii, discovering the purple sweet potato. Oh my gosh, it's just fabulous. And I'm talking about the one that's purple inside and out. They're very difficult to find in the store. There's a type of sweet potato that's purple on the outside and inside is a lighter color than the orange sweet potato, which is my favorite, oftentimes referred to as yam, where the sweet potato has the brownish orange outside and a lighter color inside. And then one of the other sweet potato varieties is purple outside, but light color inside. This one's purple outside, inside and out. And I think it's more fibrous, especially when you cook it correctly. The skin is really chewy, so it might not be for everybody, but it's absolutely delicious. And if I find those in the store, I will stock up. And then an assortment of squashes will sometimes find their way into my meals. Another in this category is the homemade kombucha. That is my main beverage. And of course, this is a product in the plant category because it's made from fermented black tea. So I do not believe that to be a product of high plant reactivity, not up there with the big four that Saladino wants you to eliminate, which is the roots, stems, seeds, and leaves. So that's in there, and I love it, and it has a lot of probiotic benefits, right? So that's kind of fun to have that as my drink centerpiece. And what I do is I make my own. Like I said, I usually flavor it with the Good Earth sweet and spicy original tea bags, which are really strong. That's the second fermentation. The first fermentation, the way you make kombucha, is with sugar and black tea, high caffeine black tea. And then you put it in the jar, and the SCOBY, that's the disc of the jellyfish looking thing, that's a symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast. That's what SCOBY stands for. The SCOBY will consume the caffeine and the sugar over a 10-day period to where it's a low sugar beverage. It still has a nice sweetness. And then when you do a second fermentation, I put in fresh squeezed lemon and lime juice and the sweet tea bags, and it's sort of a lemon-lime flavored delicious beverage that I will mix at a ratio of about two-thirds to one-third or three-quarters to one-quarter with mineral water, sparkling water. So I get that effervescent, I get that carbonation, and I get the kombucha flavor, and that is my winning go-to beverage. And I mostly have used my wonderful SodaStream machine to carbonate the filtered water from the filtration.
I want to tell you about wildhealth.com. They're an online provider of comprehensive precision medicine and health consultation services. They offer DNA analysis, custom lab panels, extensive medical intake form with family history and lifestyle preferences, and regular online visits with a board-certified precision medicine physician and a health coach whom you can message anytime through their convenient app. Wild Health evaluates your data to determine what you need for nutrition, exercise, sleep, and supplements, and you can experiment, consult, and retest to get everything dialed in. You'll get a cutting-edge epigenetic test of DNA methylation to calculate your all-important biological age and have fun lowering your age over time instead of following the mainstream path to accelerated aging. It's time to strive for awesome instead of just normal. Did you realize that only 6.8% of Americans are deemed metabolically healthy and only 2% are declared optimal? That's disgraceful, but you can turn things around quickly. Please visit wildhealth.com and you will see that this is the absolute gold standard of personalized medicine and it's available to you right now. Telemedicine available anywhere in the USA. Wild Health is generously extending BRAD podcast listeners 20% off the cost of membership. Just visit wildhealth.com/Brad or use the code BRAD20 at checkout to get 20% off and start taking control of your health today at wildhealth.com/Brad. Hey, I want to tell you about Schwenk Grills. This is a revolutionary portable gas infrared grill that uses the exact same heating technology as the world's best steakhouses. You heat up to 1500 degrees Fahrenheit to grill the juiciest steak you've ever tasted in as little as 3 minutes. Can you believe it? That's right. You do not have to go to those crowded, noisy, super overpriced steakhouses anymore when you have the same technology in your backyard. And the Schwenk portable infrared grill is not just for steak. You can make chicken wings, hamburgers, seafood, lobster, vegetables. I make salmon in 3 minutes. They even have a pizza stone accessory. I want you to visit their very informative and mouth-watering website at schwankgrills.com. That's S-C-H-W-A-N-K. Everything you cook, faster, juicier. The speed is so important, so convenient. There's a drip tray on the bottom, so you let the juices drip down. I love the bison burger, the venison burgers. That's my game. And then you can add a mixture of butter, spices, whatever you want into the tray. Pour it back onto your meat or your salmon for a huge improvement in flavor. Are you getting hungry? I am. Let's go to schwankgrills.com, S-C-H-W-A-N-K grills.com, and up your home cooking game. This is a one-of-a-kind grill. I have a great discount code for you, of course. It's BRAD150 to save $150 off your purchase of a Schwenk grill.
But now I've made a greater commitment to increase my carbon footprint by buying expensive glass bottles transported from across the globe, inspired by Ben Greenfield, who put that on his top 10 list of health practices that he would recommend. Can you believe that? Of all the things you could mention, he said, drink more mineral water because our modern diet is mineral depleted. The soil that's used to grow the crops, the difficulty in getting things like magnesium from dietary sources, the mineral water can be a real helpful inclusion into the diet. And I know I shake my head lifting those heavy boxes transported from the mountains of Italy or the Rocky Mountains, whatever, and then going to recycling with a ton of glass bottles because, of course, I drink a lot of fluid every day. But I'm upping my glass bottle sparkling water game and mixing that with the kombucha. So that is another inclusion of plant foods that have drifted in there. You're probably going to guess another one, and that would be my fabulous Brad's Macadamia Masterpiece Nut Butter. And that is, for me, considered a treat. One tablespoon goes so long, and I know I should be selling more products saying you should have half a jar every week, but it's such a wonderful treat, and it has so much nourishment in there that a little goes a long way, so you can savor those jars. I mean, it's a small jar. The price point is seemingly high when you're used to paying $3 for peanut butter, but it's fairly priced, especially when you consider products that are I wouldn't say competitive because there's nothing like it, but you can find a jar of macadamia nut butter that's 8 ounces or 9 ounces and pay $22.95. Ours is only $17.95, and it's better than just macadamia nut butter because it has the wonderful coconut butter, cacao nibs, organic cacao nibs, the very best in the world. Everything in there is sourced to be the very best. So it's definitely an indulgence. And hey, nuts and seeds are on the list of the most reactive plant foods. And so if you detect any adverse responses to consuming a delicious nut butter, then you don't have to have that on your list. But for most people, it's a great treat. We're not talking about eating a jar every single day and overdoing it because it is calorically dense also. But I think it helps you, curb your appetite to the extent that you're going to be less likely to go reaching for the ice cream at 10 o'clock at night. And so that's definitely in the picture here. And lots of consumption of avocado because, again, avocado is a fruit. Extremely minimal concerns with plant toxicity, high percentage of monounsaturated fat, a great addition to many meals. Now, my fruit consumption, even though I have a green light from Dr. Saladino and others that fruits are the least reactive of all the plant foods, and you can certainly enjoy them, I kind of drifted away from those over the years of trying to live a primal aligned, and especially in the off season, like going in the wintertime and buying these gigantic cultivated blackberries imported from Chile. That is not aligned with our genetic expectations for health. Dr. David Perlmutter makes a good point saying that humans should not consume any fruit in the winter because it's not evolutionary aligned if you want to be super hardcore. And also, my selectivity is pretty high with fruit because I want fresh seasonal fruit that tastes delicious. And once you've had truly delicious berries in the summertime from the farmer's market, or a fresh pineapple, papaya, mango from Hawaii, or wherever you can get truly fresh fruit, you are not going to be so excited about buying the routine fare that's oftentimes picked too early before ripening, transported from its distant origins, and just doesn't taste as good as a truly fresh fruit, or especially a wild fruit. So we have organic, and that being the highest ranking in the fruit category, but even higher than that is wild fruit. So if you're driving on the country roads in Oregon in the summer, and you stop and pick some blackberries, that's about as good as you can get. And they taste vastly superior to the blackberry that you buy in the plastic box in the store. Okay, so continuing on, that was my list of plant foods that are having a central element in my diet. No salads, no stir fries since 2019, amazingly so. And now, as I mentioned on show number one in this series, when I'm at the farmer's market or the grocery store, looking at people stuffing their baskets with those giant leaves of kale and the carrots and the onions and everything, I sort of get this funny feeling inside. Like that used to be me with a big smile advocating for my own personal health by filling my basket with the bounty of the garden. And it's kind of an amazing sensation to realize that my mentality has shifted and that I now second guess this strategy. And looking even deeper and learning more and doing more research, it's again another example of how we've been programmed to take these, I guess you'd call it a soundbite or, a basic insight and extrapolate it to contend that plants are the king of the universe. I like how Liver King Brian Johnson, making a very loud and splashy statement on his recent foray into social media on Instagram and elsewhere, that liver is the king of the food scene. It has the more nutrient density by far than anything else, even giant baskets of the most wonderful organic produce that you can find. And they have some of these conversion commentary, right, where carrots and pineapples and sweet potatoes are high in beta carotene, which gives you the wonderfully important vitamin A. But guess what? It takes up to 20 times more, I think it's 21 times more chemical reactions, cellular reactions in the body to convert ingested beta carotene from the diet into the usable form of vitamin A in the body, which is retinol. And then you look at the nutrient profile of of 3 ounces of liver, and it has the fully formed source of vitamin A, retinol, in massive increased quantities from consuming 4 pounds of broccoli, 10 sweet potatoes. You know, the conversion rates are ridiculous. And again, further rationale, Denise Minger, one of the smart minds out there with a great blog, a real deep thinker and researcher, author of Death by Food Pyramid, still a really good-selling book that we put out nearly a decade ago. She cites research, as do others, that some 40% of the population does not have the right genetics to efficiently convert beta-carotene into vitamin A. And there's all kinds of examples like that where our familial genetics, our recent genetics, make us more or less adaptable to different dietary strategies. So those following the extreme diets, like the hardcore dyed-in-the-wool plant-based folks that are thriving and looking great and feeling awesome on a plant-based diet, I'm going to name my main man, old friend Rip Esselstyn, who's a picture of health and fitness, recently broke a world record in master swimming in the 200 meter backstroke. And he's one of the leading plant-based advocates in the world with his Plant Strong business and products and podcast. And of course, he's thriving. He has excellent blood work. Everything's fantastic. So it really works well for him. But I'm going to contend in response that you could call it a high risk dietary strategy if you are going to a plant emphasis or plant-based, because you are eliminating many, the vast majority of the most nutrient-dense foods on earth. But it can work for some people. I think Game Changers was a popular documentary highlighting these great athletes who are performing well following the vegan diet, but it's been so roundly, widely criticized with deep responsibility in scientific research supporting it. You can listen to long shows. Dr. Chris Kresser was on Joe Rogan taking it apart piece by piece with a 78-page PowerPoint calling on all the irresponsible and lack of scientific evidence they presented and manipulation and propaganda. So let's just walk away saying that if you choose to restrict the animal foods that have nourished human evolution for 2.5 million years, you are following a high risk dietary approach. And again, who can contend that your level 7 doesn't have the potential to be level 9? That's all we're talking about here. All right. So I talked about upping my commitment to nose to tail and getting those organs in my diet through supplemental means like MOFO and other ancestral products, as well as going out of my way to find sources. U.S. Wellness Meats, I don't think I mentioned them before, but they have a great website and they have grass-fed liver from different animals, and they have other organs, and it's easy to find these days with the push of a few buttons on the internet. And again, it's all about the theme of maximizing nutrient density. Oh, it might be fun here to mention...
I want to tell you about wildhealth.com. They're an online provider of comprehensive precision medicine and health consultation services. They offer DNA analysis, custom lab panels, extensive medical intake form with family history and lifestyle preferences, and regular online visits with a board-certified precision medicine physician and a health coach whom you can message anytime through their convenient app. Wild Health evaluates your data to determine what you need for nutrition, exercise, sleep, and supplements, and you can experiment, consult, and retest to get everything dialed in. You'll get a cutting-edge epigenetic test of DNA methylation to calculate your all-important biological age and have fun lowering your age over time instead of following the mainstream path to accelerated aging. It's time to strive for awesome instead of just normal. Did you realize that only 6.8% of Americans are deemed metabolically healthy and only 2% are declared optimal? That's disgraceful, but you can turn things around quickly. Please visit wildhealth.com and you will see that this is the absolute gold standard of personalized medicine, and it's available to you right now. Telemedicine available anywhere in the USA. Wild Health is generously extending BRAD podcast listeners 20% off the cost of membership. Just visit wildhealth.com/Brad or use the code BRAD20 at checkout to get 20% off and start taking control of your health today at wildhealth.com/Brad. I want to discuss the incredible benefits of red light therapy and how you can get started with Mito Red Light. Mito, like mitochondria, red light makes the premier light therapy devices in the world and at incredibly affordable prices. I stand in front of my Mito Pro 1500 unit every morning, carefully exposing my eyeballs, other important balls, and my entire body to special wavelengths of red and near infrared light. When I tell people about my daily devotion to red light therapy, they typically ask, "Does this stuff really work?" And the answer is yes, and there are thousands of studies supporting its effectiveness. Here's how. It's called photobiomodulation, where specific wavelengths of red and near-infrared light, red's visible, near-infrared is not visible, that's why it looks like only half of your panel's working, these wavelengths help mitochondria in cells throughout your body produce more energy and clear waste products more efficiently. Red light exposure helps mobilize nitric oxide trapped in the mitochondria and allows oxygen to return to the cell and increase ATP production. The benefits are proven again and again for skin health, muscle recovery, joint pain, and numerous inflammatory conditions. Red light therapy is also beneficial for circadian rhythm alignment, because we generally get far too little direct sunlight and too much indoor blue light from screens and light bulbs at the wrong times. You don't hear much about this benefit of red light therapy, but when I turn on those lights first thing in the morning, as soon as I wake up, I walk across the hall, I stand in front of the panels, and I feel instantly awake and energized. And believe me, there's a lot of days where Mr. Health Guy here wakes up feeling a little groggy and a little whiny, like I don't want to get up now and get into my morning exercise routine. But when I stand in front of the lights, in 1 minute, I swear I feel wide awake. I get all that grogginess out naturally. It's super powerful, super effective. Besides all the healing and the cellular benefits, I also love it for being a natural wake-up machine. You have to try red light therapy. I am certain that you will become a devoted user. And guess what? Mito Red Light offers a 60-day no-risk trial period and a special 5% discount for BRAD podcast listeners. Just visit Mito Red Light, M-I-T-O, redlight.com, and use the code BRAD on any of their products. Go for it today and get started on your red light journey.
This excerpt from our book, Two Meals a Day, from Dr. Josh Axe. He's one of the most popular health authorities in the world, written a bunch of books, co-founder of Ancient Nutrition, a lot of products with collagen and so forth. And he's, I don't think we would categorize him in any camp except for the creationism camp, because when I asked him on my show why walnuts are good for the brain because they're shaped like a brain, and why is celery good for the bone just because it's shaped like a bone, he said I wouldn't like his answer if I didn't believe in creationism, which I don't. I'm sorry, Dr. Axe, but a lot of his information is very sound and well thought out, and so we're not going to discount everything just because that that religious element is injected into his dietary commentary. And he seems like a pretty good resource to deliver what he calls top 30 nutrient dense foods. And you're going to find a lot of plants on his list, but you're also going to find most of the major players on the Carnivore Scores food rankings chart. So if you have a strong belief that various plant foods are giving you health benefits and you're getting that favorable antioxidant response without any adverse side effects. And again, that's a point that Saladino makes so wonderfully, that all these plant foods come with a package insert. Yes, indeed, broccoli is going to give you a nice dose of sulforaphane, which very smart Dr. Rhonda Patrick will explain just how beneficial that is for the antioxidant response. But if you have gas, bloating, digestive discomfort, like I did after my green smoothie, I'm going to say I'm going to look elsewhere. And I love that concept that Dr. Paul detailed in one of our shows about the difference between plant hormesis and environmental hormesis. So hormesis is a stressor that delivers a net positive benefit. It's an appropriate stressor to the body, like a short-term fight or flight experience, such as a sprint workout, giving that hormonal burst of adaptive hormones into the bloodstream afterwards, growth hormone, testosterone. So to be grammatically correct, the sprint workout is a hormetic stressor resulting in hormesis, or a stressor that delivers a net positive benefit. Because the sprint workout was appropriately in duration and degree of difficulty, it didn't break you down and leave you collapsed on the side puking at the end, but it gave you that stimulus that was appropriate. Same for cold exposure or a sauna exposure. You're in there for the appropriate duration where you start sweating profusely. You start making these heat shock proteins in the sauna, you make cold shock proteins in the cold tub, and you get out. You're not in the cold tub for 30 minutes freezing your butt off and getting rushed to the hospital. You're in there for 4 minutes and you emerge and you get this profound anti-inflammatory mood elevating response, a boost in norepinephrine that lasts for up to an hour that I talked about in detail on my cold therapy show. And so these environmental stressors, I mentioned workout, I mentioned cold, I mentioned hot, sun exposure of the appropriate duration. All these have a hormetic effect, and you can also get a hormetic effect from consuming the poisons that are found in plants and mounting an appropriate, graceful antioxidant defense response. But the great point that Saladino makes is if you become an enthusiast of cold showers and hot saunas and sprint workouts and fasting, which is another wonderful hormetic stressor, right, to starve your cells of energy so that they function more optimally, repair more efficiently. That's what happens when you're fasting. You've heard that word autophagy, which is the recycling and repairing of damaged dysfunctional cells. Apoptosis is the programmed death of precancerous or dysfunctional cells prompted by fasting, because that's when your body is forced to work with maximum efficiency. You also get anti-inflammatory benefits and all this other great stuff due to the hormetic stressor of fasting. And when you have that hormetic stressor of consuming broccoli or blueberries, you mount that defense response to manage the ingestion of those plant toxins, the aforementioned in show number two. Now, if you choose to become an enthusiast of environmental hormesis, there's an excellent argument that you don't need to put yourself under that plant hormetic stress by consuming these foods that have toxic properties. In other words, you can get all the stressors you need from environment rather than diet. And then in diet, you can focus on nutrient density rather than a devoted and deliberate attempt to prompt antioxidant defense responses from your food choices. And boy, I mean, let's just pause and take a breath there, because that's life-changing information that your cold tub is making up for your kale salad. Whew. All right. I didn't know this stuff prior to 2019 and more content going in my brain over the previous years. Paul Saladino's Fundamental Health Podcast, I can't rank it highly enough. He gets in there with interviews or monologues where you're just getting a ton of information deep into the science of all this that I'm talking about, hopefully in an easy to understand and takeaway tone. But without delay, I'm going to get to that 30 nutrient dense foods from Dr. X. And I think this is in rank order because it's otherwise random. But number one is seaweed, which is a pretty good plug up there, because seaweed has that dietary iodine, which is very difficult to obtain. It's incredibly nutrient dense. And remember, our ancestors colonized the globe. You can look at that link for the Oppenheimer human migration across the globe. We'll put that link in the show notes. It's a fascinating point and click interactive journey watching humans leave East Africa around 200,000 years ago and colonize the entire globe, and where they went first and where they failed and came back. And this is interesting too, that our first journey out of Africa, which occurred around 200,000 years ago, may have been as few as 120 people. So that most of us on Earth descend from only 120 intrepid humans who successfully made it out of Africa and then reproduced and populated. But they first traveled east along the shoreline. So they went into Asia, India, Saudi Arabia, you know, toward Australia, and successfully colonized all the way over toward Australia and Asia before turning back and then heading up to Europe. And that only occurred 30 or 40,000 years ago. That's when we had some interbreeding with Neanderthals. That's why a small percentage of humans today have a small percentage of Neanderthal DNA in their blood. And most people think it's like we went from Africa straight up to Europe, and that's not how it went. And so that colonization of the globe was widely facilitated by exposure to marine life, because we followed the shorelines. Duh, what are we going to do? Go to the interior? No, we're going to catch fish and have that marine life as a centerpiece of the human diet, especially all the high omega-3 sources that you can find with fish and marine life like seaweed, because that is what facilitated the growth and a tremendous expansion of the human brain, allowed us to become smart, to use tools to catch, to bring down big game, and then get more access to nutrient-dense food by cooking the meat from the big game. And that's how we developed the strong brains and basically branched away from our plant-eating cousins. The gorilla today has to spend like 11 hours a day chewing roots, shoots, and leaves, all the stuff we're not supposed to eat, right? Chewing that food just to get enough nutrition to fuel the extremely less functional brain than the human brain, which was fueled by nutrient-dense marine life and animal foods. Those are pretty compelling arguments in favor of an animal-based, animal-intensive diet, or at least inclusion if you're one of those people that's been on the fence and allowing a little trickle of an occasional egg or occasional fish. I would also contend that you go deeper into the access of the most nutrient-dense stuff. So we had number one, seaweed from Dr. Axe. Number two is liver, beef and chicken liver. Number three, kale, collards, and dandelion greens. Number four, broccoli rabe. Number five, exotic berries like acai, goji, and kamu kamu. Number six, spinach, watercress, and arugula. Number seven, broccoli and cauliflower. Number eight, cabbage, bell peppers, garlic, parsley, other berries like blueberries, raspberries, blackberries. Then asparagus, carrots, beets, wild salmon, and sardines at number 16. Number 17, bone broth. Man, he's trying to please everybody, huh? He's got all that leafy greens and all the stuff that the carnivore camp is saying to avoid. And then we're turning the corner, finding a new route and jumping right into the wild salmon and sardines. Number 17, bone broth. Number 18, grass-fed beef. Then we go green beans, egg yolks, pumpkin, lentils, artichokes, tomatoes, wild mushrooms. Number 26 is seeds like pumpkin, sunflower, chia, and flax. Number 27, raw cheese and kefir, sweet potatoes, black beans, and wild rice is Dr. Axe's top 30. In no way am I recommending or endorsing this, but I appreciate his list. We appreciate it enough to put it into two meals a day as an outside opinion on the matter. And if we want to sort of get some a takeaway here, let me ask you if you have a busy stomach in general life, because, man, imagine going to the store and buying all those 30 things for a photo shoot, which we occasionally do, not for these 30 things, but we'll buy and then present this in a visual manner. You are talking about an incredibly diverse and colorful bunch of meals to go eat all those 30 things over the ensuing days, and that might not be as easy as sticking to some familiar go-tos like your sardines, eggs, salmon, and steak, and, you know, not as much dietary diversity. There's this seemingly flawed notion that the more dietary diversity you have, the better our gut microbiome, but that's been widely refuted by many experts. One of my favorite quips was from Brian McAndrew, filmmaker for the Primal Organization, and he's like, yeah, a rainforest is a pretty amazing, economically diverse and thriving community, but he goes, so is the desert, man. And there's all kinds of things living in the desert. It doesn't look as, let's say, impressive or diverse at first glance as a rainforest, but it's an excellent point. In other words, you can have a healthy microbiome by consuming fewer foods. And a great takeaway from human evolution is how adaptable humans are to anything and everything. So our ancestors that evolved and settled above the 60th parallel on the globe, so that would be like Scandinavia, Alaska, if you're looking at the line on the globe, you cannot make vitamin D ever at that latitude. So even in the middle of summer, laying out on your lounge chair on a sunny day in upper Norway or what have you, the sun's rays are not powerful enough to prompt vitamin D production from sun exposure, which is the most prominent and the easiest way to get the loads that you need. And so if you don't have sufficient vitamin D levels, you die. So the only way our ancestors were able to colonize the upper latitudes of the globe, it might not be the 60th parallel. I think it is. Yeah. Above 60, you'd never make vitamin D. Above 45, which a lot of people live right now, we're cutting into middle of Europe. We're going through Salem, Oregon, the famous sign on Interstate 5. It says, "Hey, welcome to the 45th parallel. You are now halfway between the equator and the globe." Pretty awesome. But lots of people living above 45 don't have the opportunity to make much vitamin D from sun exposure, especially if they're at that discord from their ancestral equatorial heritage and living at those high populations. So the darker your skin tone, the less efficient you are at making vitamin D. And so if you're living at the upper latitudes, you have real trouble getting enough from sun exposure. So how did our ancestors survive and colonize those areas? Is they had a huge load of vitamin D rich, oily, cold water fish. The only way we are able to survive is to get mega doses from diet. And yes, the oily cold water fish family, especially cod liver oil as a supplement, has by far the highest doses of vitamin D of any other foods. But generally speaking, dietary contribution to our vitamin D needs is really small. So if you're in those high risk categories of living at the high latitudes or living at a latitude in discord with your ancestors and your skin color, you're going to be well served to supplement with a quality source of vitamin D and consume a lot of oily cold water fish. Okay, let's wrap this up with some important takeaway summary points, okay? My number one encouragement is to make your top dietary goal the effort to maximize the nutrient density, so that everything you eat, you contemplate, how does this contribute to my main goal of nutrient density? So when I put my corn tortillas in the pan to fry them up with high quality olive oil and then enjoy my eggs or steak inside those corn tortillas, I realize the corn tortilla is nothing but a pleasure and indulgence, has minimal dietary nutritional contribution, and it's mainly the nutrient dense foods that I'm focusing on. Hey, if you want to have an indulgence that's narrow, why don't you become a dark chocolate connoisseur? You can't beat that for the nutritional benefits. There's all kinds of good properties that the chocolate provides. Again, dietary hormesis, and definitely coming with a package insert. I'm sure some people might have a problem with chocolate ingestion, so pick something that works for you. So if number one objective is to maximize nutrient density, number two would be to ditch the nutrient deficient, hyper palatable modern foods that do not contribute to your health or your micronutrient needs, and instead just provide a cheap source of calories, in many cases addictive to highly addictive. Listen to my show with Dr. Robert Lustig, and we can learn how even allowing these high sugar and these processed foods to leak into the picture can lead to a further and continued prolonged consumption. Regarding that term hyper palatable, there's a couple good books, Rob Wolf's Wired to Eat and Dr. Stephen Guyunet's The Hungry Brain, talking about how the processed foods light up those dopamine receptors on the brain and compel us to consume more and more. And the food manufacturers are very skilled at typically combining sugar and fat and extra salt to really hit those pleasure receptors and make us think, oh my gosh, this cheesecake, this ice cream, these chips, this Starbucks drink, the combination of sugar and fat is hijacking our pleasure center of our brain. And one insight is that this stuff does not exist in nature. So if you're looking at the wonderful, delicious, natural, nutritious foods found in nature, they are either high fat savory, like animal meat or what have you, an egg, or they are carbohydrate. So you're dealing with delicious berries, and your ancestors raided those trees during the ripening season and fattened up on berries, gorging their faces on berries, honey, whatever. But it's either high carbohydrate, high sugar, or high fat. And then when you pack those two together, oh man, that is the double whammy. Welcome to the Cheesecake Factory, the show not sponsored by Cheesecake Factory. Thank you very much. I just lost another sponsor. Just telling it like it is, people. Now, so that's number two on the goal. Number three is, if you're interested in losing excess body fat, and that includes a lot of people out there, you want to emphasize protein as your dietary centerpiece, because that's going to provide you with the high satiety that's going to help you preserve muscle mass, because we don't want to strip muscle mass when we're trying to drop excess body fat. We're trying to focus on fat and preserve muscle. Also very important as we age, and that's why supplementing is so important. And supplementing will not compromise your fat loss goal. So consuming extra protein will give you more satisfaction, better muscle repair and maintenance, and it will not contribute to fat storage. Like consuming an extra 200 calories a day with a protein smoothie can only contribute to your fat reduction goals, even though you're eating more calories, because the protein is not going to be sent to fat storage. So the goal here, when you're doing protein supplementation or increasing protein intake, is to naturally steer you away from overconsumption of these hyperpalatable modern foods, especially. And that's kind of what happens when we get into these ill-advised dietary strategies like blanket caloric restriction. You're going to slow things down, and you're going to be compelled, you're going to be called to these hyperpalatable modern foods. Okay, that's number three on the takeaway insight. If you're trying to lose body fat, emphasize protein, stay away from the junk food. Number four, if you're an athlete trying to recover, so you have good blood work, no disease risk factors, your body fat is optimal or near optimal, you want to make sure that you keep the flame burning and those muscles repairing optimally, and try not to overload the stress factors of extended fasting, carbohydrate restriction in the manner of keto, or in the manner of carnivore too, right? Paul Saladino made a great transition in his thinking and philosophy in recent year and a half or so, where he went from strict carnivore to making a concerted effort to consume more honey and fruit so that his carb intake was sufficient to allow him to recover from his favorite activities like surfing and jujitsu. And he says he felt better and had an absence of some annoying symptoms that were possibly caused by insufficient carbohydrate intake on someone who's that freaky and extreme. And most people, even those listening who are have adapted this unique ancestral-inspired lifestyle, most people aren't as deadly strict as the proponents, right? And so it's not a huge concern for most people. Fortunately, my carnivore journey has been imbued with a ton of dark chocolate, which of course has a certain percentage of carbohydrates in there. And when you eat a bar a day, oops, all of a sudden I'm getting 40 grams there instead of zero. And same with whatever I'm throwing in the corn tortilla onto the pan. That's not written in the carnivore owner's manual, but it certainly doesn't hurt me and probably keeps me out of that danger zone of having too extreme an approach to diet. Oh my goodness. Same for a plant-based approach. If you can please, please throw in some sardines, some eggs, or something to help you get those specialized agents that are absent from the plant kingdom, you're going to do much better predictably, right? Okay, so if you're an athlete trying to recover, you're trying to, this is a great takeaway that I get into further with my shows with Dr. Tommy Wood, maximize your intake of nutritious calories rather than minimize. Another interesting insight of how to strategize this in a practical level is this feast or famine concept, which was originally conveyed years ago by one of the paleo forefathers, Dr. Art Devaney, so one of the earliest proponents of a Paleolithic diet and lifestyle, contended that the feast or famine approach was the best for the human. And that means that you're going to enjoy these indulgent, satisfying meals, and then you're going to include also periods of time where you're giving your digestive system a break. Now, the recent research in time-restricted feeding, Dr. Sachin Panda, showing all kinds of benefits for the human to give that digestive system a break of at least minimal 12 hours every day eating window. So we don't want to be eating late into the night. And so we have that 12-hour break at minimum. A lot of people like to play around with strategies like the 16 and 8 eating pattern. So you're fasted for 16 hours, and then all your calories are consumed in an 8-hour window, let's say from noon to 8 p.m., as I followed when I was trying to drop excess body fat. But in general, if you can set that goal of minimum break of 12 hours or maximum eating window, to say it another way, of 12 hours, and then perhaps you'll feel better, or you'll enjoy tightening that up a little bit to a 10-hour or an 8-hour eating window. Also on this list of takeaways is to make a concerted effort to emphasize a nose-to-tail animal-based diet. And so that means going and getting your organ meat game on, or trying the supplements, and making sure not to have a narrow view where you're just going for the muscle meats. And oh my gosh, what better example than the egg, where there still exists a product on the shelf, and there still exists a lot of support and on menus at restaurants for egg whites, the egg white omelet. I was at a restaurant recently, and it was called the triathlete omelet. I guess triathlete connoting someone healthy and athletic, and the egg whites, I guess, being it ranked in a higher category than the average slob who's going to allow those the yolk to leak in there just because it tastes good and they can't discipline themselves as much as a triathlete. What a freaking joke. And to call a triathlete inherently healthy, I'm going to have to, as a former triathlete, I'm going to have to argue that one too, because triathlon, the sport, is inherently unhealthy because it involves such extreme training in three events. And so you have to be very, very careful to preserve your health despite the inherent risks of being a triathlete. And then if you're having an egg white omelet, you're digging yourself a further hole by diminishing the nutrient quality of your diet, because the vast majority of the micronutrient benefits in the egg come from the yolk. That's where the choline and the high levels of vitamins A, K, E, everything, D, whatever it has, mostly the yolk, and the white is simply a so-so source of protein. It is a complete protein, but things like whey have higher levels of the important amino acids. So definitely the full egg would be part of the nose-to-tail strategy. And remember my comments on red meat being superior to conventional chicken and pork. So the cow, the ruminant animal, can deliver a better end product and better handle that feedlot diet than the other ones. So let's kind of twist that notion upside down when you're thinking that you're climbing the ladder of dietary sophistication by de-emphasizing or eliminating red meat in favor of chicken and fish. And in fact, if you want to jump above the steak line, as seen on the carnivore scores chart, you're going to emphasize red meat and really second guess chicken or pork or poultry and or turkey, unless it is sustainably raised. So if you can go find a pasture-raised chicken at the farmer's market, heritage breed pork as offered by places like ButcherBox, or pasture-raised turkey, which you can get from a place like Diestel Farms, then you're doing okay. So especially concerned about conventional chicken and pork, less so for red meat. In fact, Rob Wolf published research that was not very happily received by the food police, the grass-fed beef community, showing that conventional beef is very similar nutritionally to grass-fed beef. So, yes, way more expensive to get grass-fed, more sustainable for the planet, incredible concern. But as far as the molecular content of that product, he didn't see a lot of difference. And so if you are going to let it slip or scrutinize your budget and realize that you're not going to be fully 100% committed, you can go to the conventional beef and have less of a negative score than if you're buying that chicken from the traditional mainstream providers. And so That brings us to the end of a three-part show. Thank you so much for listening to all three as I jog you through my dietary habits over the lifetime with special emphasis on present day and this CNC strategy. If you want to talk further about how this can help with your fat reduction, go ahead and send some email questions. We'll cover those in a Q&A podcast and much more coming out about that content. I've already published a lot too, but good luck. And thank you so much for listening to all three. Go back and listen to the others if you missed them. Thank you for listening to the show. I love sharing the experience with you and greatly appreciate your support. Please email podcast@bradventures.com with feedback, suggestions, and questions for the Q&A shows. Subscribe to our email list at bradkearns.com for a weekly blast about the published episodes and a wonderful bi-monthly newsletter edition with informative articles and practical tips for all aspects of healthy living. You can also download several awesome free ebooks when you subscribe to the email list. And if you could go to the trouble to leave a 5 or 5-star review with Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to the shows, that would be super incredibly awesome. It helps raise the profile of the BRAD podcast and attract new listeners. And did you know that you can share a show with a friend or loved one by just hitting a few buttons in your player and firing off a text message? My awesome podcast player called Overcast allows you to actually record a soundbite excerpt from the episode you're listening to and fire it off with a quick text message. Thank you so much for spreading the word. And remember, be rad.